One of the things that's been striking me as we've talked, especially these last 2 days, is your familiarity with traditions of documentary photography. And I'm just curious sort of where you picked that up and then how you place yourself as a photographer along the lines. You show an awareness of other people, of the FSA photographers.
Yeah.
And you mention them from time to time. When did you start getting interested in other photographers and begin to learn about other traditions?
Just through books. As I mentioned, I never went to any schools or anything. And when you live in Lansford, you know, you've been around here, there's not many people you could really talk to about photography or documentary photography. It was through magazines. You pick up a magazine, you read about Walker Evans, you know, which he was a great photographer, FSA photographer, who did photographs in the Lehigh Valley and down south. You pick up a book like James Agee's book
Let Us Now Praise Famous Men.
Famous Men, and you look at these photographs and you think, and I think, well, you learn. You learn from books and you learn from other pictures. As far as any mentors, I never had any really, but I think it was mostly from books and all that. And I saw Museum of Modern Art once had an exhibit by Walker Evans, which I was very impressed by, maybe it was just your background and what you went through and what you've seen in the mines. Maybe it's a documentary in nature, and so you just applied it to photographs. Maybe there's no reason at all for it, really, just that you apply what you see and what you feel, and you say, well, I'm going to take a picture of it. And whether some people say, well, this is a documentary or photograph, it could be. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just a slice of life or something. If that's documentary, well, that's what it is. I really don't know. I don't know how it evolved. Probably just went from one day to the next, one situation, one event to the next, and for some reason you figure I should photograph it. That's about the only reason I could give. I think to be like a documentary photographer, you kind of more or less have to observe life and observe what's going on about you, and kind of whether you want to write about it or photograph it or paint about it or something like that. I think you've got to experience it to a little degree.
And it sounds like you in your description of your last months in Japan, that you had a desire to photograph the life around you.
That started to evolve. That's what I said. I think from then on, I think it was just a gradual progression of different events and all that through the years, that you applied this documentary ethic, or whatever you want to call it, to your photographs. And I think that's the way it evolved.
Do you think your sister, Rose, was an influence on you a bit in this?
Not really. I knew she photographed, but the only pictures that I was aware of was the book she did with John Steinbeck, The Forgotten Village. I was aware of those photographs, But then I also realized that these were done for a movie too, These were done on a movie set and all that, so they weren't actually documentary film pictures. They had the feeling of a documentary movie, but the photographs themselves were, I imagine some of them were set up, and I don't think they were.
They were staged to tell that story of the
documentary movie.
Of the Curandera.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and they were about the only ones. When she worked for the magazines and all that, she was doing stories on wine and cheese and things like that, So it was a different thing. No, I have done a lot different types of photographs than Rose did, But I imagine her being a photographer might have had something to do that I wanted to be one too, down deep, I think probably if she wasn't a photographer, I might have never ever been one, That's probably the way it happened. I don't know if I could have gone to a journalism school or studied with somebody, whether things would have worked out better or differently, or I don't know. It's hard to tell. Rose at one time did, when I come out of the service, I guess I was just out a few months or before I even worked for the morning call, she told me to go to New York and see a fellow named Ralph Steiner. He was a great photographer, a pretty good, well-known photographer, but I never did get down to New York to see him. But, she had thought if I ever get to New York that I should look him up and all that. But he did a lot of good work too. As I watch his work through the years, and you know, I see, used to see it in magazines or something.
How has photography changed in terms of what you see being done around you, the kind of work that's being done and being published? Do you get a feeling that the photography in the tradition that you're a part of has changed a lot since the FSA period and since you did your work with Lehigh Colon Navigation?
Well, I'm not too much familiar. Like I said, living here, I'm not too familiar with other photographers. I've got to know people like Joe Elliott from teaches photography at Muhlenberg College. Joe did an awful lot of pictures on the steel, Bethlehem steel. He kind of was portraying Bethlehem steel as, you know, a big company, and all his photographs were like monuments and all that. Majestic monuments, you know, big blast furnaces and big buildings and all that, and very, very nice photographs and all that. But he didn't show the workers either, too, you know. I mean, he left out the people. He's leaving up to the viewer to say, well, okay, you imagine who's working in here, you know. I mean, you could imagine somebody working by that hot fire or something like that. But he left all that out too, you know. And I heard one fellow who had worked in these steel mills, and he said steel plants weren't like that. He said they were like David talked about. They were dirty and hot and steamy and really miserable places that you couldn't wait to get out of, you know. They weren't monuments and all that. It's just like if you... The recent pictures I took up at the Three Breakers, Joe and I did, and I think in 1992, we did the Huber Breaker for the Park Service. Joe did the interiors and I did the exterior of the Huber Breaker, and then we switched around. And the Huber Breaker and the Locust Summit Breaker and the St. Nicholas Breaker are about the last three breakers left in the Anthracite region, big breakers. You know, there's some small ones still operating, but these are the big ones. They're vacant, and these are almost like the same monuments of the steel. They almost like the headstones or something like these. Well, here lies the death or something of a great industry. Of all the once great industry and all that, and they have all these machinery still, like up in St. Nicholas, and you could imagine the people that worked in St. Nicholas at one time, putting out all this coal, the noise, the water, the hustle and bustle and everything else, and now they're just silent, you know, and they're just monuments. If you can photograph people, I think you should photograph people. If the people aren't there anymore, then you can't photograph them naturally. But I think if we go to a place and can't leave out the people, we should photograph the people also.
You got some photographs at the bagging plant at one of those breakers,
oh,
didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. That's Joe Lawson up at Locust Summit. He's the last remaining worker of the Redding Coal Company in that area, and they had thousands and thousands of people.
And he's bagging coal now.
Bagging coal, yeah. That's all he does. And there's a certain stillness about an inside of a big breaker like that now, especially when you're the only person in there walking around. And it goes back to the same feeling you get, like I mentioned, in Gettysburg or someplace like that. You kind of visualize people there in front of you working, you know, and sitting there picking slate, throwing the slate in down a chute or something like that. And I think if you could inject some of that feeling into your photographs, I think you put a little bit about yourself into it, even though there is no people there.
Yeah, well, I think that's the important thing, and that's obviously from the very beginning in your work, the connection you've had, that what drew you to the mines was the miners.
Right, yeah.
And the experience of the miners.
Yeah, I was never really interested in how many cars of coal they did, or, you know, and how many feet there were, you know, they had to drill up into the thing. I went up there and I looked for a photograph, you know, and if I could find a photograph, I was satisfied and all that. And I was, some people who got involved in coal mining and all that, and they had, they knew all about the mines. There's people know a lot more about mines than I do around here, you know. I mean, I'm not talking about miners, I mean ordinary people, because they study it, you know. And I was so preoccupied to get a picture that I didn't care what they were doing, as long as I felt there was something that was interesting that I could photograph, and that's all I cared about.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's clearly your approach, and I think that's, in the end, your contribution, especially the shots that you took over the years at Landscoal,
yeah,
where you, in fact, are capturing miners at work, and where one will understand the process by how the men did it,
yes,
and not just as a part of a technology.
Yeah, yeah. And you try to inject a lot of these feelings, too, about even how they smell, even. Maybe sometimes a photograph could even say, well, that piece of clothing must smell pretty bad or something like that, you know.
you get close enough to it and you can see it kind of encrusted and whatnot.
Yeah. I've had a lot of reviews. I don't know where they are, but people have got that same feeling too, I think. I think the second show I had in Lehigh was during their alumni reunion, and there was a couple from Brooklyn, elderly couple in Brooklyn, and they were looking at this small show I had in the Wilson Gallery, and all Ricardo came in and he said, well, there's the fellow there that took the pictures and all that, and they had walked around and saw the pictures and all, and they came over to me and they said, you know, we were never really a big fan and never thought much of John L. Lewis, but after looking at these photographs, they thought, well, maybe he had a point anywhere. So people did think about the photographs, and it did show them a little bit of maybe how dirty a mine was and what they had to go through, and they said, well, I'm glad I didn't have to do it, you know. So if that point comes across, I guess maybe succeeded in a way, in a little way.